Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Half price vitamin and cosmetic sale on now.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, what a big week. Welcome to the end of it. Make sure you subscribe. A great thrill for you today. One of your favourite humans in the world joined us.
Cameron's. Oh.
George.
Cameron Smith was on.
Look, you can carry on as much as you like. He was in good form, Boy George, because the voice is coming back.
It's a good chat.
Yeah, it was a good chat.
Never again.
Yeah, you say that now.
You guys got along like a house on fire.
Yeah.
Really
just
nice.
Like you didn't with Cam Smith because he wouldn't talk to you.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
Boy George had talked to
Imagine
you.
Imagine Boy George playing Origin if he came back to Queensland. What position would Boy George play?
Well, hooker, obviously.
Oh, you reckon?
Get him in at hooker, yeah.
What? Yeah, ow, little don't hit me. Stop.
Control
ouch.
The play, yeah.
And dummy half just sliding out.
He'd be a chatter on field, though, wouldn't he?
Oh, big time.
The hat.
He'd sing all the instructions.
The hit and spin in the tackle.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway.
So when's that show on, The Voice?
Yeah, it's Sunday night. It's debuting.
He's blending in quite well to this team, like a chameleon.
Oh, well done.
I know it's calm. I'm just trying to.
The end of the week.
You know me, I just love wedging in a song pun wherever possible.
This podcast, let's say I'm out just walking my dog and I'm listening to this podcast. Am I hearing the whole week or just Fridays?
Just today. But I've just said it was a big week. I mean, you can go back and listen to the whole week if you like.
Yeah.
That's podcast, mate. Yeah. You're great.
Yeah. You can go back and listen to 3 years ago if you want.
Why are you listening to this podcast? Like who?
Because I missed some of the really good stuff.
And bands. I wanted to check. Classic bands
or lawyers threading through it to see if they can sue
too.
Us.
That too. Yeah.
Is he harassing Cam Smith? Let's have a look.
Much love, former PM Bob Hawke passed away at the age of 89. We remember him.
Good innings.
Yeah, he did really well.
Great all innings. Right, all right. I've been waiting all day.
Yeah. Okay.
This is it. Look, watch this. I can drink really fast. Watch this.
Yep. Bang.
Oh, stop.
That is fast.
Wait. Oh, my God. What are you doing?
That is fast. That you just
next PM, Marto. If you don't know what's happening,
did I open my gullet and didn't swallow it all?
You just slammed about 300 mils of Barocca there. That was very
That was Barocca water. Now, that took 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds. Bob Hawke is claiming, or Guinness is claiming, in 2.5 litres of beer, that's a yard of beer, that he drank in 11 seconds. I'm calling bullshit.
Well, can you open your gullet and try?
Have a go at it.
Can you break Bob Hawke's record?
I've got a 21st on tomorrow night. I might do the demonstration
it?
Sculling by embarrassing father.
Next week. Next Friday, you're going to go for Bob Hawke's
record.
Yeah, record.
Well, do it Monday. Get him in the mood early.
I believe it's a yard glass in 11 seconds.
It's a yard glass, 2.5 litres of beer.
I think so. It's pretty big.
Did you practice on the weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether he actually did it and how much. Have you ever done a yard glass? Probably not, Robin. Nick?
No, I've never done a yard glass.
It's got that big bulb at the end and it just comes at you.
That's what gets you. It's not the other 2.3 litres. It's that final 200 mils.
That bulb.
That's what's made me feel sick.
You've been prepping for a party as well. Some interesting preparations going into that.
I've got, it looks like a music festival we set up at my place for 120 youngsters.
Portable toilets.
Could be all sorts of things.
Sounds like
going
a good time.
On.
A Hessian something for boys who wee.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what you do. You maintain your privacy and just wee on the ground.
Okay, great.
Or the hedge.
It's so all excited. In the catch up. Have a great weekend and enjoy.
Quick question, Marta.
Is it finished? What's up?
Sorry, quick question. Are you? It is a party, and you said it's like a music festival in your backyard.
Stubby holders with Hilly's name on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Whole.
Are you going to be the personal drug testing kit at this party? Are you just?
There's so many things I could say about that, and all of them would get him into trouble.
Put it in the receptacle. You've just got your mouth open, sir. Right?
What's that you're smoking? Give me a look at that.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
What a 3 weeks it's been, Robin. Thanks for being with me.
I know. Well,
thanks,
it started
Nick.
As something we were just going to do on one show, and then it got legs and all these amazing people came on board.
It was a thought bubble, but it was for the betterment of Queensland. I said I'd let it go today. Let's just think of the campaign to bring Cam Smith back after his retirement last year from rep football. You know, I spoke to Kath about this last night. I was a bit teary to my wife. She thought he'd retired from all football. And when watching the Storm, I said, the Storm number 9, that is Cameron Smith. She said, he's like the best player on the field. I said, that's why he has to go under the Origin. Anyway, for the last 3 weeks, we've been conducting the campaign to get him back in a Queensland jersey. The story, here's the journey.
started with an idea.
First State of Origin at Suncorp Stadium. Very important that we win that because we're in a little bit of trouble. We're in a bit of a funk at the moment
no
here
spine,
in Queensland
apparently.
Rugby League. We need to stay together on this because we need to present something to Kevin Walters because at this stage he is a naysayer as well.
Cameron Smith returning to Queensland. Will it happen?
No, that won't happen either.
Dobbo.
Are you trying to start?
I'm starting what I'm calling a Cam Pain.
Storm coach Craig Bellamy says he wouldn't object if the Melbourne captain ended his rep retirement to play for Queensland.
If Cameron wanted to play Origin again, you know, he'd do so with our blessing.
It gathered support from former Origin legends.
Lottie Takiri, hello, mate.
I'd love to see Cam back. We definitely need him.
Gordy, can you help me out here?
Mate, he is certainly up for it, and wouldn't it be a buzz? I'm on board. Wait till I sign, and I'll sign it twice.
Now, Wayne Bennett.
Maybe Cam can do it. Yeah, let's get on the Cam, mate.
Yeah!
Thank you, Coach Bennett.
And politicians.
Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison.
Origin, I think, is so fantastic. It's the big contest and you want to see the biggest names in the game out there on the field, and that includes Cam.
Support from Origin comeback legend, Alfie Langer.
Cameron Smith, the player he is back in the Queensland side, would be amazing because I know what he brings to a team on and off the field, and he can handle his drink as well, so he's not a bad guy after all.
But Kevy wasn't convinced.
Oh, my God, mate. You've just created this massive tidal wave, but it's just about to be done. Mate, it's done.
Well,
I'll tell you who's done. Oh. If we lose that first game because we're not good enough around the dummy half or goal kicking, you're done, mate.
Love speaking to you guys this morning. You're really positive.
So there was only one thing left to do, and ask the man himself.
No, look, mate, I'll put it to bed for everyone now that's listening in. I won't be playing. My time's gone, and I know there's been a fair bit of speculation or a little bit of beat up, particularly from up north, you know, trying to get me back. But, I won't be pulling on the jersey again. I've had my time there, and the young fellas need to take their opportunity and make it their own.
Are we done? Come on. The only other
we're
thing
never
I can
done.
Suggest...
That's not... Do you think in 1980 were we done? When we
no.
won? Were we done? Have we been done forever? Okay. We're Queenslanders,
Robin. In 1980,
Robin.
Alfie was begging.
You know who hasn't
Wayne
done enough in this
in.
Campaign? And that's
who?
You. Because part of this is I want to just give it a little bit more time because Cam said to his wife and their three kids, they said, they got two or three. Anyway, they got a few kids. And said, I want to spend more time. I've been selfish and all this. I won't play rep football. And Barb's obviously holding him to that. And
what's
probably
the night off,
you
though?
Need to talk to Barb.
No, Kath needs to talk to Barb. Kath, your wife, who saw tears in your eyes, needs to ring Barb and say, Barb, you don't understand.
Let him in.
We need
what's
him.
What's a night off? One
is
night
Barb
off from the kids.
From Queensland?
I think she is. I think they're both from
all right, this
Logan,
might have some
they?
More legs. I know I said it had finished today, but just I'll just do up a little battle plan. We've
and
still
then
got a week.
What? And then what?
And then we talk to Barb, and she makes an announcement as a press conference.
Okay, the only thing I'm willing to even entertain next week is you are in Melbourne this weekend. If you happen to find yourself near Cameron
Smith. Oh,
my God. Like Nick and run into him at the airport. If you can get it from you to him, then that's it.
All right.
Apart from that, I'm not interested.
I'll ask him face to face because it was faceless men. It was Mark Geyer asking him on the field last night. He needs to speak to me.
He will dodge you like the flu. I'll tell you that much.
He knows.
But
we'll rub our
watching.
Hairy arms together and go, it's a blood bond. Brother, what do you say? Blood bond?
What do you
all
say?
All right, it might be over.
It's done. It's
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Right now, so exciting. Special guest, someone you just love so much. Marto, this guy.
Keep your attitude up, Greg.
You know this from your iPod.
He does aerobics to this.
Yes, indeed. And also this from your iPod. Do you really want to hurt me? Your iPod's a real
one-trick
pony.
See, look, he's swaying.
I respect what he's done in the industry.
Well, he joins us right now. Good morning, Boy George.
Good morning.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good, yeah, I'm having a lovely time here. I love being in Australia. I love being in Sydney. It's a very spiritual place. And I have a good time here when I'm not working as well, you know, just kind of just enjoying the city, you know.
How do you unwind, especially in this audition stage? You know, you may hear 200 terrible singers in one day. What are you doing to let the air out of the tyres after that?
I have to say that the singers, it's more about they're just too good. You know, you keep getting people
nice.
And it's... And, you know, end up with sort of so many good people, and then you've got to send people home that are great. It's really, the talent here is commendable, you know, and it's every year it surprises us.
Do they come to you? Can I just check the process for spinny chairs? You stay in Sydney and they all come in over what number of days?
Oh, my God, I think they're here for quite a while. Oh, maybe 4 or 5 days.
And they just keep coming at you guys. Are you in there like 12, 15 hours a day, I suppose?
Listen, it's not a difficult job. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My friend, I believe my
often,
friend.
I often spend a day at The Voice and turn to my team as we leave and say, beat working for a living. Come on, it's such a fun thing to do. You know, I mean, this is like, it's easy because, you know, it's what I love. I love music.
George, can I check something? I'm a footy commentator, and people can now listen to what you're doing, what you're telling the people at home at the field. If I criticise one of the players or even the referee, their partner will often get stuck into me as I leave the commentary box and give me a mouthful or even nearly physically assault them. Assault me. Does that happen to you? Do any of the parents, they've invested thousands into their child or their prodigy, yeah. Do any of them get into you?
Well, there was this great incident, I think, on season one where this girl didn't get through and Seal was kind of tell her why she didn't get through. And he said to her, is there any percentage of what I'm saying you agree with? And her mother shouted out, 0%! I mean, there is always that worry. But I have to say, I'm very good with mums.
Oh, like you win them over first, do you?
I'm like the mum whisperer. I am, because actually... They always kind of seem to be quite friendly with me, you know. And, you know, I think what it is if you let someone down with love, if you're not nasty, do you know what I mean? If you, you know, if you're not too critical, we say, well, this is what was wrong and maybe you need a bit more experience. I mean, there's, you know, The Voice isn't really about cutting people down. It's about good advice. It's about sharing your wisdom, you know.
Who's rostered on to have an affair with Delta this year? Is it you?
It's probably very unlikely to be me.
Refer back to the vegan comment.
I just had a look at the TAB website. They are long odds.
What are they got?
And you've got a selection of great hats and outfits, George.
I have got some nice hats and outfits. So I don't really call my clothes outfits. Outfits would make it sound like I was going to a fancy dress party.
Okay, so...
Sea Culture Club.
It's almost on a par with costumes. Oh, I like your costume.
Okay, so great jackets and matching hats.
Not necessarily matching, but I'm always looking for new things.
Okay. Would we say ensembles?
My idea of hell would be to sit down in that red chair, look over, and somebody be wearing the same fit.
Okay.
What about a wig? Why do you do the hat? Why don't you go a wig?
A wig.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never done that before.
Oh, go on.
Oh, yeah, a mullet.
We'd
just
love
rock
to see you in a wig.
A wig mullet.
Where have you been for the last 30 years? I've more wigs than RuPaul.
Oh, have you? Sorry.
No, but do one on The Voice. Go and put a mullet on. My God, the Australian public would love you.
Yeah, well, you know what? Listen, I may do some hair drama, but I'm not sure.
Hair drama coming up this year on The Voice.
Drama, you know.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
It's a sad day today because we have found out that a beloved Prime Minister in Australia, Bob Hawke, has passed away at the age of 89.
We have lost a favourite son. Bob Hawke loved Australia, and Australia loved Bob Hawke.
Australia's 23rd Prime Minister died peacefully at his Sydney home today, aged 89.
He was determined that he was not going to let Australia down.
By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
James Lee Hawke was no plastic politician.
Any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up today is a bum.
He was not embarrassed to shed tears for a drug-addicted daughter.
You don't cease to be a husband. You don't cease to be a father.
Or to weep for the victims of Beijing's Tiananmen Square massacre.
Anti-personnel carriers and tanks then ran backwards and forwards.
He made us a major player on the global stage. As we globalised, as we took advantage of the opportunities that were there for us to compete internationally.
Creating the greatest amount of happiness and prosperity and security that you can for your country. That's what your responsibility is.
He genuinely loved Australians, loved Australia. He did set out to change things. He was deadly serious and wanted to achieve things for the country. And I remember a quote that sums Hawke up, I think. I'm not about the business of being able for some indefinite period to sit under the banyan tree and scratch myself and say, what a jolly good fellow am I. He wanted to achieve things, and he did.
Mr. Hawke, former PM, simply became Hawkey, champion sculler, champion of the people.
And the great man, Bobby Hawke, nailed it. Said, thank you very much, boys.
Larry, a trade union leader who perhaps had sufficient common sense and intelligence to tone down his larrikinism to some extent and behave in a way that a Prime Minister should if he's going to be a proper representative of his people, but who, in the end, is essentially a dinky-dye Australian.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Now, I was telling you guys yesterday about how long it took my wife, baby and I to get to, from the airport to our apartment. It was a good 3.5-hour journey, thanks to babies and whatnot. Baby. I don't know why I use plural there. Why not? I grabbed someone else's on the way out. Love kids. What can I say?
Another one now, on the way.
We were stuck in the car park at the airport for about 40 minutes due to a little rent-a-car issue.
What do you mean?
Now, we're a two-car family. We were a two-car family. We've had to sell the cars. Mm. The newest car in the fleet, though, was a 2003 Mazda 6. The one before that, I don't even know.
How many cars do you say your Mazda 6 had done? 200?
240,000.
Oh, is that rock solid? That's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's not taxi
cab. I'm a 32-year-old P-plater. I don't know.
That's right.
Trying to get it to 500,000.
Hold on. Have you still got your P-plates?
Yeah.
How'd you go renting a car?
Well, I can't.
No, Leach would have had to because your insurance on that would have been diabolical.
Yeah. So my wife had to rent it and we sat in the car park and it took us a good half an hour to get out. Not due to traffic. There was no one there. It was due to the fact that we couldn't find the handbrake.
Oh.
Because we're used to actual handbrakes.
With a big rod that you pull up with.
You know, like the old school pokey arm?
Yeah.
That's what I'm used to, with a handbrake.
Yeah. Was it a toe tapper? Was it like right at the top and you have to tap it at the top? I've had one of them.
Oh, right. No.
They're old.
No, no, no.
They're old ones too, aren't they?
I don't know.
Turned out to be a button that looked like an electric windows up a downer button. Right?
Is this a Mazda? Because my Mazda 3's got one of those.
Really? What, one of those
a little button?
Yeah, a button.
And
it puts a light on if it's on, and then you push the button and the light goes off.
That's too easy. You need something.
No, how do people not accidentally
tap that all?
Because you have to have your foot on the brake to put it on.
All right.
So there you go.
We were stumped.
But how are you supposed
ages?
To know that in a rent a car? Rent a cars are the hardest part.
Yeah, they just go get in there, have a crack.
Well, they say check for the scratches and off you go.
Yeah, well, and you do that, but then you don't ask them where the petrol cap is. That's how do you get it?
Oh,
have you
had
great
that
question?
One?
That is, I should have asked that. I don't even know what we're meant to put in it. We've got to fill it up today.
Best ask that one too. Do you want to get some stories?
I do. 133353. Your rent-a-car problems. What has happened? What's left you stranded?
I've got a rip snorter. 10 years ago, Kath and I were over. I was over in France to do some rugby commentary. She came as well. Had 3 days off. Went, let's hire a car and go for a drive. Hired a BMW. Oh my god, because they're a dime a dozen over there.
Yeah.
40 minutes, same sort of thing. Just sat there going, why isn't this working? Won't even turn on. Why isn't it working?
What was it?
In the end, and you couldn't Google because
there was no such thing.
Well, I didn't have it on my phone. It was, I didn't realise because I'd always driven a crap car, you had to hit the brake before you turned it on.
Yeah.
Like, and you try to get French people walking by. Hey, listen, no, they don't want to know about it.
Well, see, you know why I'm so thingy about my kids getting a manual license?
Yeah.
It's because I also only learnt to drive when I was way back when on an auto, and I had to go and pick up. I was working for a radio station in Sydney, and I had to pick up on a Friday afternoon from North Sydney. I had to go across the Harbour Bridge and pick up a hire car to take back to the radio station. It was manual. I bunny hopped. The entire way across the Harbour Bridge at peak hour. You can imagine how angry
you
the
must
motorists
be the only person
were.
With that story. I always found out that the, you know, people would go, Cody, you've got to get a manual just in case you get stuck somewhere and that's the only car.
There
When's
it is.
Is that going to bloody happen?
Well, it happened.
Yeah, get your way
Rent
through
a
it.
Car stuff ups.
Okay, Stuart of the Gap, what you got?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Welcome aboard.
G'day, mate.
Yeah, so I was down in Tasmania doing a bit of a driving tour, brand new Mitsubishi Outlander. Yeah. Spent a bit of time in the Tamar Valley, sampled some wines, bought a sparkling red.
Oh, nice.
Natural sparkling red, very volatile, unbeknownst to me. Yeah. Drove from Tamar down to Fraser National Park, so a bit of altitude and temperature difference. Got out of the car, went for a hike, Wineglass Bay, beautiful.
Hold on, do you work for Discover Tasmania? What's going on here, Stuart?
It's
going to
get better. It's going to get better.
You're going to plug cheap airfares at the end? What's your intention?
Walking back to the car, and I notice what I think is sap on the windscreen and windows, and I'm thinking, this is weird because there's no trees around. And I open the car door and look at the ceiling of the car and realise that the wine's actually exploded inside the car.
Oh, well played, Stu.
Yeah, all through the CD player, aircon vents, everywhere. Okay.
All right, what happens next?
What happens next? I go to the local IGA and I buy carpet cleaner, Ajax, and Windex, and a black ice pine tree air freshener.
That'll do it.
I spend the next 3 days doing all of those cleaning products to the car.
Oh.
Take it back to the depo. They do not even blink. They have no idea. Absolutely no idea. It smells like dead wine in that car.
Dead wine.
I get all of my money back.
I would have cancelled the credit card the next day if I was.
Oh yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Okay, so I'm going to be upfront with you here and say this is a question without notice and I don't have an answer. But it means that you can speculate till the cows come home.
Yeah.
Because it's naming lots of Brisbane suburbs we know and love.
Digital finance analytics determining the most high-risk postcodes. Those living in Ashgrove were the most likely to be approved for funds, with the Redland area, Carindale, Fernie Hills and West End among those not far behind. Those living in Milton and Loganholme were near the top of the blacklist, with many lenders requiring a larger deposit or refusing to lend at all.
Okay. Hold
on, digest all that. What was that? So Redland,
basically,
Ashgrove,
if you want to get finance to buy a house,
there's good suburbs
like Carindale, Redlands, all those ones that were listed, and there's bad suburbs. Now, sadly, for poor old Logan, and Loganholme gets a fairly bad rap.
That's not all the Logans. Loganholme.
Yeah, but that's at the top of the list, right? And I think we've heard enough news in the past to know that we can understand maybe why. But Milton, the suburb where Suncorp Stadium is housed.
The brewery. Yeah.
Why would Milton be somewhere where banks don't want to lend people to get homes?
Because.
Yeah.
Really young people. Hold on, I'm just looking it up, the demographics of Milton. Now, there's a lot of uni students live there. And uni students are dodgy. Yeah, here you go. Hold on. Here you go.
Go on.
26% of the population is 19 years and younger. So they're really young.
Irresponsible.
I guess.
Don't feel like they can actually pay back.
What are they doing looking
loans.
For a home loan?
I don't know.
What else happens in Milton?
I was trying to think.
The old tennis centre's there.
The old tennis centre.
Lovely park now.
Also, there was the tram depot used to be on Boomerang Street. Have no idea where that was.
There hasn't been a tram in Brisbane since 67 or 8.
69.
Yeah, don't drag them into it. It's not their fault.
Yeah. It was formerly
the trams.
Used as a night soil dump.
Hold on.
Maybe it's smelly.
No, it's not smelly.
Maybe that's the problem with Milton.
There's no problem with Milton.
Maybe too many pissed people.
What are backpackers?
Come out of.
Oh, but they're not applying for home loans.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know Milton.
No, but they're worried about, so if a young couple are going to move into a house.
Yeah.
The bloke's going to stray with a Swedish backpacker. They're going
to
lose the house.
To the brewery.
Yeah.
They're going to lose the house.
Like the sound from Suncorp when, you know, bands like Foo Fighters play or the Broncos are losing and everyone's booing.
Oh, good Lord.
I was thinking more the cheers. Surely that'd pump you up.
Yeah. Maybe people.
I'm going to go to bed. See you, Dale. No, I'm not. I'm fired up. Let's go. Do some chores. I want to know, how far have people gone for their kids? Because there's a couple of actors in the US at
the
minute.
For your kids.
Felicity Huffman's one of them. Well, would you bribe an admissions consultant with $22,000 to have someone correct your kids' exam scores to get them into a uni? Would you do that?
How much did it cost them?
$22,000.
How dumb are they?
That's the question.
Well, I mean.
So you're willing to pay up to a certain amount, but if it's 22 grand, you go, well, no, uni's not going to help him.
It's really interesting you say that because I have a son who did 1 year of uni last year and is now, you know, trying to work out what he wants to do.
That's the modern way.
And you know, like I'm really clear that he's got to sort this stuff out because at 19, if I keep holding his hand, he's never going to learn.
Yeah.
So I would, in theory, say that I would not. I mean, who's got 22 grand anyway to bribe some dude to put your kid through uni? In fact, Laurie Lachlan. Her daughter didn't even. Yeah, she did. And her daughter was just created this whole.
The polo player?
YouTube
somebody had to
channel.
Photoshop her into just uniform as a part of the admission.
She did was hate the fact that she was there. So her mother was paying all this money and she didn't even want to be there. Like, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Well, I want to know. 133353, have you gone the extra mile for your kids? My mum once also got in big trouble with the law. I got stuck overseas thanks to a travel agent mishap. And mum threatened to commit some violent acts against this woman. And
that's
I got
good.
Back home for $100. It was going to cost $2,500 one way due to this lady's mistake. And my mum called up with a quite a particular threat. And I was back 24 hours later for $100.
I love parents will step in. Like that day Harry had a sore foot, my bloke, and I stepped in and did his day's work for him at his work site. Because
he had
to get that work done. I almost killed
like a
me.
Freaky Friday situation.
a man in his 50s becoming an apprentice. It was horrible.
Did you take his pay for the day?
No, I didn't get to accept any payment at all.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
what
everyone
you do
would do
for
that.
Your kids, James, of Ipswich? What happened?
So my daughter was working for the sleaze bag. He didn't pay her or the girls that were doing long shifts.
Yes.
He actually got the money and took it to the casino. He actually proposed.
Paid him double? Oh.
He actually proposed to some of the girls, you know, to come with him, join him at the casino and, you know, stay the night there and all of that stuff. My daughter said, "Don't do it. Don't say anything." But I had to.
Yes.
She went into the shop. It was like a cafe, sort of a restaurant thing he owned. Went in with my staffies. Let them loose, and they had a good thing there. And I had some choice words with him. And my daughter texts me later on. Said, "Oh, Dad, he's paid me." And I said, "Oh, that's awesome." I said, she said, "Did you say anything we're doing?" I said, "Nah, mate." I said, "I don't know. He probably had a change of heart."
Nice work, Joe.
Bringing in the muscle with you, the staffies.
What, you said you let your staffies loose. What exactly did they do?
So they went in. So there were some customers in there eating. I just went into the kitchen where he was hiding behind the staff. And
he was hiding. Oh, God.
Yeah. So he saw me walking in. And, he was hiding there. He knew who I was.
I bet.
You've made yourself known.
I just unclipped my staffies and they just had a look around for food and stuff. And, I just went and, just got them in the corner and told them to pay up. And,
used them as scud dogs.
Well
nice
done, James.
Work, James.
Good fathering. Nice.
Victoria Rothwell, when have you got above and beyond, or was it your dad?
It was my dad. Many, many years ago when Queen toured, I was only about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy tickets online or anything because that was back in the 70s. So you had to actually ring up, book your tickets and then send a postal order down to buy the tickets.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
My sister and I did. But a week before the concert, our tickets hadn't turned up. So we were getting quite worried and they rang up while we were at school. My father answered the phone. They said, "Oh, look, we're sorry. We didn't realise what the money voucher was for and we've just put two and two together and we've got no tickets left." And he just went ballistic and said, "These girls saved up their babysitting money. They've done this, they've done that. You better find tickets for them or else."
Go, Dad,
Was your dad under pressure?
We got tickets 15 rows from the front at the school hall. And then my dad drove us down there, which was a four-hour drive. Waited outside while we went to the concert and then drove us all the way home again.
What a man.
What a legend.
Did he ever tell you the particular threat that he delivered?
No, he was a very a gentleman.
Was he?
He wouldn't tell us what he said.
Whatever it was, it worked.
It did. So he was a legend for that.
Oh, good memory.
Thanks, Victoria. It's The Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
There was something, we were on air yesterday, the Today Show's on, I can't hear, but I can see the pictures and that. And Pauline Hanson, do you see when she was standing in front of the cow?
Yes.
In Shepparton?
And I said to you, oh, look at the cow.
What's going on there? I don't know why they position her. So she was there talking to that Deb Knight off the Today Show. Now, here's something that never featured on the Channel 9 news last night, and it's self-explanatory on why Pauline Hanson having a big dig.
Can you really blame people for having their doubts about One Nation and considering Clive over you?
Deb, I've actually gone up since the last election. Yeah. Unlike your show, Deb, since you've actually taken over, you've actually gone down in your viewership. So should you hand over your job or should we bring Carl back? Should we bring Carl back? You know, you have a go at me about this all the time, about the polls, going down in the polls. You know, I just feel that you constantly have a go at myself and One Nation. Let the people have their say on Saturday. Well, and then we'll see. We'll see how many seats if One Nation picks up seats.
Oh, a couple of good punches.
Stop the fight. Pauline Hanson. It's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Hey, tonight, of course, tonight the Broncos take on the Roosters. And just a little story about this. You know, Payne Haas, we've been talking about him for the last year. The enormous human being.
Yes.
Right, 119 kilograms. He's about 6'5", 6'6" in the eye. He's huge. To see him up close is amazing. So he's the biggest forward the Broncos have got, Nick. So in great form, but he's from New South Wales. So Brad Fittler's got an eye on him at 19 years of age to play Origin.
That's not good.
That's not what this story's about.
Okay, what's this story about?
I didn't realise he was a Muslim, and as such, for the last 12 days since the 5th, last 12 days, he's been on Ramadan.
Ah, that means he's fasting during the day.
Between sun up till sun down. He can't have any to eat. I think he can just drink a little bit of water.
It's the holy month of Ramadan. Very important.
Good time of year for it, though.
Why?
Well, it's getting light later.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Actually, up the north of the world, they've got really long days during Ramadan. Righto. So you go, wow, how hard would that be to play 80 minutes of NRL without having anything to eat?
You can eat. You can.
No.
You can eat first before the light sun comes up in the morning. Yes. So you can really.
And then they usually eat straight after the sun goes down. They really feast as well. But he's got a footy game because, of course, you'd cramp up if you did that before tonight's game. But last week, they're saying, listen to this. So last week was 5 days into Ramadan. He normally runs about 159 metres a game. That's a lot.
Right,
okay?
That's a lot. Okay.
Anything over 100 for a forward is pretty good.
Awesome. Well done.
Last week he ran 192 metres.
Wow.
And you know what he says? And Hazem Al-Masri, who is what used to be the leading point scorer before Cam Smith broke it recently, he did Ramadan many times. And I remember Sonny Bill. And they used to say, if you can get through Ramadan as a professional athlete, you find you're incredibly strong mentally for the rest of the season.
Wow.
Because you've pushed through it. You've done things that other people, it makes you really strong, as in strong-willed. You can,
If he's playing tonight, it's going to be... It's going to be dark by the time the game starts.
Yeah, but you're going to get a snack in.
You can't but fill up.
You
and
need
then
a
go
banana.
Run.
You can't eat anything substantial. You just need fruit or sugar.
No palmy.
I suppose.
No palmy.
You won't be having a chicken parmigiana.
No burger.
No. Actually, you wouldn't know. 19-year-old.
God, well,
you probably can.
I saw people drink beer and have a burger before they used to play in the old days.
I was going to say, I'd be pretty shocked if the devout Muslim bloke smashes a beer before running out.
That's true. Sorry. Apart from that,
the big breakfast on Triple M.